This summer, I wanted to start kind of a series just talking about stories of faith. I think, so all summer, we're going to look at stories where we see people's faith grow, and we're going to see it both in the Bible, but we're also going to get to see it on stage with people sharing stories. I'm excited that we're going to get to hear from some of the folks in our family that get to share kind of, we're going to hear it from the Lowens, and we're going to hear it from some others, where we get to see how God is, how God shows up and builds our faith in all kinds of circumstances. They're not the stories that we might picture, not heroes who never doubted. These can be stories of people who have actually had struggles, who've been scared, who ran low on trust right in the middle of a hard thing and found out that God was there the whole time. And I think there's a thread that will run that we'll see through these stories, and it's simply this, is that faith is not the absence of struggle. Faith is reaching for Jesus in the middle of it. Faith is not the absence of struggle. Faith is reaching for Jesus in the middle of it. And I don't think there's a better passage for us to start with than a guy who was literally starting to sink in his faith. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14 this morning, verses 22 through 33. And I realized I left my Bible again, but luckily I can read the screen. Let's read this together. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. The timing of this story, it happens right after Jesus had fed the 5,000. They had just watched Jesus take a few loaves and fish and feed an enormous crowd. It was more than 5,000. 5,000 was really counting like just the men, and there was women and children. So, and they had leftovers. They had just done this massive miracle with very little that they had witnessed Jesus. And the very next thing is he sends them out into a lake. And it's late, but they must have spent, I mean, it says 3 o'clock. So sometime between, really, I think it's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning is when they meet Jesus out on the water, but they had been fighting this massive storm for a long time while Jesus was away. I could spend the whole morning on the fact that he sent them onto the boat, into a storm, but I don't think that's the heart of this message. The heart is what the storm was for. Because if you watch how the story ends in verse 33, it says, soaking wet and shaken. You know, here they are. They're soaking wet and they're shaken. And then they begin to worship him. And they say, you really are the Son of God. The storm didn't just frighten them, but it grew their faith. It gave them a bigger Jesus than they had when they had gotten on the boat. And here's what gets me. They had just seen this miracle, and there was still more faith to grow. I can't even imagine. You just witnessed this amazing event that you participated in, and then the very next beat, they're needing to grow in their faith once more. Faith is not a one and done type thing. When your faith gets tested, it's not a sign that something is wrong with you. It's an invitation to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have been. I actually really struggled with this talk this week. I was telling Noah this morning that I was late getting him kind of information about what we were talking about because I kept trying to change the talk. I didn't really want to talk about this because this hit too close to home for me. This has been this last month in particular has been really challenging. I've been in a storm. A close friend of all of ours passed away. And it hit me hard that she's not here anymore. I'm dealing with the 100-year-old building and leading and trying to do plan services and do events and different trainings. And there's all these different kind of things happening around me. My daughter finished school, which was awesome, but it added all this extra stuff on top of it. Had a close friend lose his job and have to just grieve along with him the loss of that relationship for him and where he was at. It just felt like one wave after the other, after the other, after the other. And I started to just feel further and further away from Jesus. And so I didn't want to do this talk, because I didn't want to have to be honest about where I've been at. I wanted to come up with something more fun and light, but this is the reality for a lot of us. And the crazy thing is I had just witnessed God do something miraculous in our church. And I'd just seen and experienced God in a powerful way that should have grown, and I should have just been like, let's go. And then the very next beat is like, oh no, I can't do this. I don't know if any of you guys can relate. And then here's Jesus as in the midst of all of the storm around them and these waves that they had been fighting. I can only, again, if you can put yourself in that situation, in that boat, there's 12 disciples and they are fighting this storm for hours and hours, these crashing waves. And I can picture that they've just kind of got their head down and they're kind of focused and it's been intense and they're exhausted and their muscles are tired and they're just like, what, another way, like, when is this going to stop? And then here comes Jesus to meet them. And they're sure it's a ghost, but then here's Peter. And he does something crazy, in my opinion. Like, I wouldn't have done what he did. which is that, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He doesn't just ask Jesus to calm the storm here. He doesn't ask him to climb, get in the boat. Instead, what does he do? He asks for the impossible in the midst of the storm. To walk toward Jesus right through the middle of it. It actually raised a question for me, is because when I'm in crisis, when I feel far away from God, when I don't feel like the Father is near, how often do I actually ask God for something that big? Most of the time, I'm just asking him to help me get through it. Like, Lord, just, or make it stop. I don't want this anymore. Give it to somebody else. Why do I have to go through this storm? Why is it another wave? How come I keep getting beat up? How come I can't get out of this? That's where my focus goes. That's what I'm crying out to God for. And I stop to think that there's more that God might have for me. But here's Peter. He looked at the impossible and asked to be part of it. He didn't ask for the storm to be taken away. He's like, Lord, show me something really cool. Let me participate in that. And notice he's the only one who got out of the boat. I gotta, like, what are those disciples like? They're like, what is he doing? He is an idiot. There goes Peter again, like being Peter. But they don't jump out with him. He's the only one. 11 other guys never leave their seats. We give Peter a hard time because he sinks. But his little faith that he had took him further than everyone else who stayed in the boat. And as long as his eyes were on Jesus, Peter was doing the impossible. With the storm raging all around him. Then in verse 30, reality sets in for him a little bit. He feels the wind, he sees the waves, and he starts to go down. I don't know, in my head when I was a kid reading this story, I had like the Wile E. Coyote kind of moment, like we're chasing the Roadrunner and he's like gets out onto the water and then all of a sudden it just like realization sits in that this is defying the laws of gravity. And there's just this moment before he actually drops where reality sets in for him. But his eyes stop being fixed on Jesus and start getting fixed back on the problem, right? And he stopped believing and stopped focusing on what Jesus was doing. Yet Jesus was still right there, close enough to touch him. But in that split second, Peter let his attention get split. One eye on Jesus, the other on the storm. And that's exactly where I've been living in my own life this last month. Because there's been stretches where I feel so connected to God. I've seen the work and the miraculous things that are happening. I'm having conversations with people where I come away going, man, God is awesome. Look what he is doing in our church, in my life, in my family's life. Man, getting to watch my daughter like discover what it looks like to have compassion and love and to care for people outside of herself is like one of the coolest things where I see God at work in her life. And I'm like, man, God's... So in one moment, I'm there. And then the very next moment, life starts getting hard again. The waves are getting bigger. And when I get caught up in the storm, that is gonna come. Like, there's no promise that, like, when we give our life to Jesus, that all of a sudden everything is all better. We still live in a broken world. We still live in a world where we have sin and we have things that God is still yet to fix in us and restore and redeem in us that we have to deal with. We still have to live with the consequences of a life that we've lived on our own or away from God. Those things still exist. We have to deal with people around us. We don't get to live in a bubble. I wish we could sometimes. It would be easier, but we don't get to do that. The storm continues to rage around us, and it never goes away. And as the storm rages on, I start to take my focus off of Jesus, and I start to put it on the waves more and more. And it becomes this thing of how can I get through the storm? How can I fix it? I start to become reliant on myself rather than God. That's a key, important distinction. The storm has always been there, but now I'm the one that's trying to fix it. I'm the one that's trying to walk, to do the miraculous things, to make it all work, to pull it together. That self-reliance is the opening. The lies then begin to move in, because when the storm continues and I can't fix it, then I start to think there's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough to be rescued. I'm not loved enough. I need to try harder. I start to believe these things that creep into the back of my head that aren't from God, from the Father who loves me, who's right there with me, because I'm trying to do it on my own. The waves look bigger, the weight feels heavier, hope drains out, and somewhere in there I start to wonder if God is even with me anymore, and if things will ever change. The truth is this, and I think it's the heart of my story, is that God never moved. His presence has never left. His sovereignty never wavered. He's the same God at the beginning, in the middle, and he's the same God at the end. The only thing that has changed was my eyes and my focus. When we stay focused on him, we get what gets done goes beyond what we think is possible. For Peter, it was walking on water. For me, it's partnering with Jesus into this new season of life that I get to experience. What could it look like for you if, in the midst of whatever is going on in your world, if you started to put your focus on Jesus and started to ask the impossible questions? I want to go back to what Peter does when he does start to sink, because we're all going to get there too. Notice that when Peter starts to sink, Jesus is right there. The wind hadn't changed. God's presence never left him, not for even a second, because you got to imagine, I mean, this isn't a cartoon. The second he starts to sink, he is going down. This is happening in an instant. So for Jesus to be close enough to be able to reach out to grab him means that he was right alongside of him in that moment. And God was no less in control than he had been a minute before. God is still right there. The only thing that had changed was that Peter was looking. That's the difference between walking and drowning. Not God's position, but our focus. And then something interesting, because if you watch how the rescue happens, Peter shouts, "Save me, Lord!" And immediately God reaches out and catches him. Immediately The hand was already moving before Peter finished the sentence. He didn't earn his way back to the surface. It's important to note. He didn't suddenly start moving his legs faster. He didn't jump up in the air somehow. He didn't get right with God. He just simply cried out, "Save me, Lord." And God grabbed him. I love the fact that this whole story, the storm never changed. The storm was still happening. The giant waves were still rolling. The waves were crashing around. The wind was still blowing. The fierceness of all of the tension that the disciples had been dealing with and fighting for so long continues through the midst of all of this interaction with Jesus. Jesus had something else in mind for Peter in that moment. It wasn't to get rid of the storm. It wasn't to fix all of the things that were not right or broken to make him able to walk on water. That wasn't the point. It was simply to put his eyes and his focus on the one who could save him. And then, as he cries out and he's rescued, it's only after he is rescued that the correction comes. That the thing that needed to be fixed, the thing that needed to be addressed, where God says, "You have so little faith, why do you doubt?" That comes after. Peter is already safe. He's already held. When Jesus says it, the hand comes first. Grace comes first. And that's what Jesus is offering. It's who he is. And I love the fact that Peter's closest moment with Jesus in this whole story isn't out on the water where he's walking confidently side by side. It's right in that moment when he is going under, where Jesus' arm reaches out and grabs him and is holding him from drowning. Losing focus didn't cost him the relationship with Jesus. It opened the door to a deeper relationship with Jesus. Your sinking moment isn't the end of your story, it's the invitation in your story. Romans 8:1 says this, "There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." The hand comes first, and then we'll deal with all the other stuff. Bring who you are. Bring all the stuff. Let me see the storm that's raging in you. I'm going to save you first. Grace first. Then we'll deal with it. But we get that backwards so often. We try to fix it first. Try to do it on our own. We get more and more frustrated. And then we just sit there and go, "God, why aren't you here?" Here's my hope as we leave today, is that what we see Peter walking on water and we see Peter sink in the very same storm, the same water, the same wind, the only thing that changed was where he was looking. When his eyes were on Jesus, he did the impossible. When his eyes went to the wind and to the waves, he went under. Following Christ is not about getting strong enough to walk on water on your own. This is the reminder that I feel like this message was built for me, because when things get hard, my instinct is to say I have to double down on my work. I have to work harder. I have to do more. I have to spend more time studying. I have to spend more time at the office. I have to spend more time, you know, trying to be healthy and do the right things and pray enough and pray harder. It's not what this is saying. It's about keeping our eyes on Jesus. And we start to sink, and we will, that's when we reach out for the hand that's already there. So this summer, as we hear these stories, listen for that one thing, that one thread that runs through them. Someone who has kept their eyes on Jesus or looked back when they were going down and found he was right there the whole time. We're going to end our time with a time of communion and just a time to respond. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. Communion is kind of an opportunity, is our opportunity to respond.